Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening on this Sunday evening or afternoon, and welcome to The Man's Voice here on this podcast. You're listening to The Man's Voice. My name is David Shorter, and I have panelists here who are ready to get on with the show. And for those of you that are listening in, if you would like to give us a call, please do. You can talk to us about what you want to hear us talk about or talk about what we are discussing. Just call 646-668-8740, and someone will come on and ask you if you would like to be involved in the show. And if that happens, just tell them yes, you would, and you can join in the conversation. Welcome, gentlemen. Glad to have you with me today.
Welcome, David.
Yeah, thank you. I want to start off with Bruce. You wanted to, I understand you had some something you would like to bring to the table. Why don't you start off with that?
Okay. I appreciate that. All my brothers that are either on with us now or might be listening and not on, here's the question I wanted to pose to each of us, including myself. I will give an answer as well, and that is explain to us the power and experience of prayer. In other words, a personal experience and power of prayer in your life. And it doesn't have to be anything earth monumental. It can be a simple example, but I would love to hear what prayer has done with having the power of prayer and personal experience in your life. That's my question. Donald, do you want to take that first?
I'd love to, Bruce. I'd love to. Thank you very much. First of all, I had to recognize, Bruce, that there was someone greater than me. I'm not a legend in my own mind. I'm the product, and there is a maker. I choose to call my maker Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I believe in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. And I know that prayer is my communication with my Father that sent me to earth. We are spirits. We have a soul, which is your mind, your emotion, and your intellect. And we live in a body, this flesh earth suit, as I call it. This is nothing but an earth suit, Bruce. You have an earth suit. I have an earth suit. David has an earth suit. All my brothers on this call, we have an earth suit. But our spirit man is how we communicate with God. And when I pray, I know that I have to have a belief system. God said, whenever you pray, also believe what you pray. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So I pray at night, and I thank him for the day. I pray when I wake up, and I say, God, I don't know what today is going to bring, but you made me, and you have my destiny and my purpose. And I can't begin to tell you how many miracles happen in my life. I can't take credit for it. And miracles have happened on so many occasions. I wouldn't have enough time in this hour to tell you how many miracles have happened in my life. My health, I was delivered from 5 blockages of my heart, pronounced dead, but prayer brought me back. I can go on and on and on, but I'm going to drop the mic in because this is something that has worked in everyone's life, and I don't want to hog up the hour.
All right. What about you, Ron?
Thank you, David. Well, my answer is not going to be as eloquent as yours, Don. But like you, I do believe in God, whatever shape or form that may be. But I do believe in a higher being, and I do pray every morning and thank God for all of my blessings throughout the day. And I do pray, every night, and I do pray every morning as well. What I do, and I don't have any concrete examples, I guess, because I guess, let me see how to explain this. I think maybe, and Don, you can chime in later if you want, but I think maybe I've been praying for the wrong things, because I know you know, for example, when my mom was in the hospital and she was dying, you know, I was in my 30s, so I was a lot younger than I am now, and I was praying that she wouldn't be taken away from my brothers and me, and she was, you know, so that caused a lot of doubt and anger and pain and bitterness and all the feelings that you can think of. So I started to doubt, you know, even the existence of God. But now that I'm nearing 60, I think I was praying for the wrong things, and maybe I should have been praying for don't let her suffer anymore instead of, you know, let her stay with us here on this earth. So that's all I'm going to say. I mean, I don't have any concrete examples that I could think of right now. I know that I've had many miracles, many probably I haven't even realized that they were miracles, but you know, I've almost died a couple of times, and I'm still here. So, you know, I do believe in God, and I do pray, and that's what I have to say, Bruce.
Thanks, Ron.
Darius, what are your thoughts?
Well, there's a scripture in the Bible that says that we should pray without ceasing. And I never really understood, you know, like totally what that meant until I came into a spiritual awakening quite a few years back. And I was struggling with certain vices that I just want to mention at this particular point in time. And what I realized is that prayer for me had to become a constant personal relationship with Jesus. And it was something that I had to be in constant contact and communication with him every day, all day. And I would hear people say things like, oh, man, I prayed for an hour, or I prayed, you know, before I go to bed. I pray when I wake up. Well, by the time I get ready to go to bed at night, I mean, I pray, I say thank you, but I don't have anything to talk to him about because I'm constantly talking to God all day, every day, through everything, from the time I get up in the morning to the time I get in my vehicle and driving on my way and wherever I'm going, I'm in constant communication with him. And what I found out was the things that I needed him to do in my life happened. And I know there's some things that have happened for me instantly, miraculously. Some things have happened over a period of time. And when I tell you that through having that constant relationship with Christ and the Holy Spirit, those things that I was struggling with, I no longer have even a faint desire for. I don't even think about it. Don't entertain it. It doesn't even cross my mind. And I know that's what deliverance looks like. I know that prayer works in that Jesus and the Holy Spirit is a deliverer. And so that's the power and impact it's had on my life. It's not only, you know, delivering me from certain vices, but it's also changed who I am for the better. And anything that is going on in my life, I've realized that if I'm constantly talking to Christ about it, if I'm constantly, and that's prayer, if I'm constantly working on it, then God is working it out even before I open my mouth, because he knows my heart and he knows what I need before I even ask him. And so prayer has been a powerful, powerful tool in my life. I don't even recognize the guy that I was, say, you know, 20, 25 years ago. I don't even know that person. And if he were to walk up to me right now, I would not recognize him. So, yeah, prayer is powerful. Prayer works. I have several miraculous testimonies that I could give, but I'm going to yield and let some other people contribute.
All right. Bruce, Michael has just chimed in. You might want to explain what you're asking. Michael, the people
okay.
listen to Bruce and then answer his comment.
Okay. Hi, Brother Michael. How are you, Brother Michael?
I'm good, Bruce. How you doing?
All right, my friend. My question that I posed is simple. It can be a simple example, a big one, whatever stimulates you. And that question is, give an example of the power and experience of prayer in your personal life.
Give you an example of the power of prayer in my personal life.
Power and experience in your personal life. But, yeah, power of prayer, yes.
Okay, absolutely. I'm an atheist, as you know, Bruce, so I don't really believe
in God. I know,
I know. And all that. But I have prayed. I'm going to be honest with you. There has been times in my life where I really wanted something. So, yeah, I put my hands together and said, God, please give me this. I really, really want it. And for the most part, it's never come true for me. That's why I just said, hey, this must doesn't work. But I can just give you an example of one time when it really did work for me, something I really, really wanted. I'm in the entertainment business, and when I was 23, 24 years old, I really wanted a part in this movie. The movie's called During Hard Times. And I went to the audition, I read for it, and it was a waiting process. So I prayed every day, like, please, God, I want to be in this movie so bad. It's something that I've always wanted to do in my whole life. Please answer this one prayer for me. And he did. So that's the only one time I could say that I really, really wanted something and I prayed for it and I got it. Now, I don't know if the prayers were answered. I don't know would I have gotten it even had I not prayed. I don't know. But that's probably the only one time in my entire life that I can say my prayers were answered. But the majority of my prayers were never answered, so that's why I became an atheist.
Let me ask you, Michael, a little bit of a follow-up there. Have you ever thought on the one that you feel – prayer might have had a hand in, maybe not, as you said, but it happened in the way you wanted it to, that you either learned or experienced or felt something above and beyond just getting that part, that part taught you something that, wow, I didn't know that was going to happen. Can you relate to that part at all?
No, not really, because what made me become an atheist is that I met a friend at the time, and coincidentally, she was an elder white lady, and she was an atheist, and she told me, she said, hey, Michael, the prayer didn't get you the part in that movie. You got yourself that part in that movie. Why are you thanking some fictional character called God? Thank yourself. Thank Michael Kimbrough. Michael Kimbrough made that happen.
Okay. All right.
Excuse me. I'd like to chime in if I can.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Michael, you ever heard of Azusa Street?
No, I have not, no.
Give me a call once this call is over, because I've got a part for a play in a movie that I think you would be a perfect person to be in that play or that movie. It's called Azusa Street, The Starting of the Church of God in Christ with Charles Mason. And it's being shot in Los Angeles, and the A&R director for Motown is shooting it. And we need a person like you so you can see the power of God.
Absolutely. I'll definitely reach out to you, Don, when this show is over, for sure. Thank you.
Well, see, the reason why I say that is because that's the way he is. He works through prayer, and he works through people. Call me, please.
I will, absolutely.
Okay, and you're listening to The Man's Voice. Once again, if you would like to get involved, dial 646-668-8740. Okay, Mr. Solution, you've been listening. Do you have any comments about what Bruce has brought to the table?
Sure, thank you, and hello, everyone. Yeah, I think I got the gist of it. The power of prayer in my life regarding God, correct?
Yes.
Regarding Mr. Solution, the power and the maybe one experience that maybe illustrated that power to you with prayer.
Right. Well, I would say, yeah, that's a great question, by the way. Thank you for raising it. Look, I would say keeping me as a believer, a faithful one, in an age of tremendous, I would say, defection, in an atheistic, agnostic society, I mean, keeping me believing in God, because I listen to so many professionals that deny God, that claim to be atheistic, and I need arguments for why this is or isn't true. But I would say basically, yeah, keeping me faithful. Now, my life overall has been one, certainly I think, of overwhelming success, health-wise, financially, so on and so forth. Not in the relationship arena, by the way, because I think our culture has gone contrary to that, and I can't create a woman. And but I could still do more. I mean, you know, to make that happen, I just haven't done it. But I would say that is the basis or basic situation for myself, is just believing in God, because that's not an easy thing to do. Just as I heard one gentleman say, he is an atheist, and when I hear that, I just go, ah, because there's so much good information that would utterly refute that, and, you know, present strong evidence for God, the origin of the universe, the fact that the universe is here, consciousness, you know. So there are just so many proofs, I would say inviolable proofs, that God exists. And the origin of life, I said the origin of the universe, that's one, of course. That would be the physics, you know, the grandfather of the science, the father of the sciences, but also biological life. That's a good evidence. And ultimately, I think the testimony of Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection from the dead, which I think is substantially historically attested to. And hey, I love conversations of this nature. One other thing, and when David, when you consider it appropriate, I heard the gentleman ask about, he talked about his daughters, and he was concerned about, this was related to a subject you brought up last week, and I would like to point out some ways that his daughters could potentially find a mate. If you recall, he has 6 daughters, and he said he was concerned for them finding a mate. But anyway, that's a separate issue of a sort. But I think I've given my response to the question. My belief in God and my continuing belief in God is my experience and represents the power of my prayer. Thank you.
All right. Once again, you're listening to The Man's Voice. But, sir, you wanted to go, you can continue with your comment from last week that you would like to get involved in.
Oh, Oh, okay. You said continue now. There's a little bit of a, I don't know, a little bit of background noise. But, yeah, you said continue with it. It's brief. It's not very long, but hopefully it'll generate a lot of conversation. Did you say proceed?
Yes, please do.
Yes. Okay. Yes, thank you. I want to say, first of all, his daughters, he has to teach his daughters to be competitive. A good man, especially a successful man, is not free. A lot of people may think that, women particularly women in the Western world, but here's a healthy introduction to reality. Therefore, she should be fit, feminine, friendly, and faithful. And, of course, that is part of her competitive responsibility. The other thing I would definitely suggest or submit is that she keep her body count low, because it is no benefit to a man, you know, to have a woman that has had a lot of penises run up inside of her. So excuse me for being graphic, but I'm just, you know, as they say, keeping it real. She needs to keep her body count low so that she can potentially pair bond. Women who tend to have a lot of sex, and I'm not a prude, but that inhibits their pair bonding capability. And then she should date only men who are interested in marriage. She should bring that subject up. That is her responsibility while she's dating, is only date men who are interested and who express it that they are interested in marriage. Additionally, she should have virtually zero body piercing or tattoos. Successful men tend not to like that. That is kind of trampish, trashy, and so on and so forth. And I guess you guys have heard of the so-called tramp stamp. She needs to know how to cook. I think I've introduced the idea that a woman that's valuable to a relationship, and I'm putting that in air quotes, to a relationship, she needs to know how to cook to properly nurture her family, and a man and a woman constitutes a family. And I also say, and, you know, this is a little quip saying, she needs to keep his belly full and his balls empty. That's her responsibility, by the way. And fundamentally, a woman has to be a source of peace and pleasure for her man. That's what she's there for, not to be a combatant and not to be overly criticizing of him, but to be a source of peace and pleasure. And obviously, I recommend Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman, Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, that talks about a virtuous woman who can find. So that means you don't ask for where's the beef when you're in the meat house. A good woman is a rare find and indeed a treasure. So, yeah, those are my comments regarding how his six daughters may proceed in locating a worthy marriage mate. Thank you.
All right. Any comments? Darius, what are your thoughts on those comments?
Okay. So
this ought to be good, Darius. This ought to be good.
Yeah, where do I begin? I'm the gentleman solution that has the six daughters. So some of that stuff, you know, they say, I'll separate the tares from the wheat. So I will use some of what you said was very, very good advice. Some of what you said, I will absolutely never, ever, ever say that to my daughters. but you did have some good advice. I will say, I don't believe in limiting your options based on what someone's thoughts are when you're talking about only dating men who are interested in getting married. And I say that simply because when I married my second wife, I was determined after my divorce that I would never, ever get married again. And had my wife told me that from the very beginning, that, hey, I'm looking for a husband, I would have told her that, you know, I'm probably not what she's looking for. And she turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to me and the most important and crucial part of my life. So I would have missed out on that had I done that. I believe there should be some qualifications or some qualifiers. I heard what you said, man. And you're right on I would say I would agree with almost 80% of what you said. But
I'd like to add something to that too, Darius. I also have two daughters, and I like what you said, Darius, because that was a lot to chew on that gentleman just said. I agree about 80% of it was pretty good, but I just want to say one thing. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. A woman should not be looking for a man. A woman should not be looking for a husband. He should be the one to find her.
Amen, Don. Amen, brother.
Can I
weigh in on that, please?
Mr. Solution?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. Is that my
question? I would like to respond to what that gentleman just said, because I'm going to just say at the opening, what he said is absolutely incorrect. And I would give him substantial information to the contrary.
Gentlemen,
don't argue with me. Just argue with the Bible.
Well, I'm going to use the Bible to make the point, by the way.
Good. I'm going to hear it.
Hold on a second.
Okay,
a female caller, listener who would like to make a comment. Ma'am, go ahead, please.
I would like to hear what he expects of a good husband.
All right. Mr. Solution?
Absolutely, and thank you for the question and the opportunity. Yes, a good husband is pretty much the same as has always been expected of men, and that is to be protectors and providers. That's what a good and sufficient husband would be constituted or expressed by, provider and protector.
That's it?
Well, that's
all?
A whole lot when you think of it. you talk about providing, you're talking about one's lifeblood going into the provision. In other words, ma'am, working every day contributes to that provider-protector role. Okay, so that is sufficient when contemplated sufficiently.
What about spiritual leader?
Both of you spoke over each other, so I heard
neither.
Yeah,
I know. Just tell me when to speak, and I'll
go ahead,
follow through.
No, ma'am, go ahead.
How about his communication and that he's going to give 100% and she 100% to make a good marriage so that they're on each other's on the same page?
Absolutely. I had you finished, by the way?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, that is incumbent, that's obligatory on their part to communicate that to sufficiency where they understand it. And see, this is why I suggested, and I would love to know what the gentleman disagreed. 80% is a pretty good, Misaki once said, if one gets 3 out of 5, which is 60% in the investment arena, you win. So if they agree with 80% of what I said, I consider that a win. But because I'm a little bit greedy, I want to know the 20% that they disagreed with. But
I'm interested in hearing what he has to say too.
Okay, if I made that 20%, I can give it to you right now.
You talked
80%, and Darius and I agree with the 80% that you talked about. But the 80% you talked about were soulish issues. They were nothing but soulish issues. And like I said before, we are spirits. We have a soul, and we live in a body. You covered the soulish issues and the body very well. But there's a spiritual part to a marriage. And God said it is impossible to please him unless you believe what he says. And I know you believe what God says because you said it. But the thing is, God made man and God made woman. He had a communication with man before he had a communication with woman. Woman was not even on the scene. He said, let me make woman. And
right. Okay. May I respond?
I think that man should be a spiritual leader. That's the major part that you missed in everything that you so eloquently said. He must be a spiritual leader first, because if he's a spiritual leader, then he can find the right woman, and the woman can submit to his leadership, not his religion, but his leadership.
Oh, please, can I weigh in on this? This is Michael. I'm about to die over here. Please, God.
Yeah, and I'd like to weigh in, too, after Michael.
Well, look, let me just respond to him.
Mr. Saluta.
First of all, sir, thank you for that. But I think you're being a little bit presumptuous in thinking that I had excluded spiritual matters. I was not being exhaustive. I was being very practical. And by the way, truth is a spiritual matter, very much so. And you hear people, and I'll just do this quick juxtaposition. I'm sure you've heard the old bromide, so heavenly minded, one is no earthly good. So practicality is also a good spiritual ingredient.
Okay, please let me weigh in on this. Mr. Solution, this is Michael. With all due respect, you're thinking some of the ways, with all due respect, is very antiquated. I can't believe you said a woman, I can't even repeat it, a woman's job is to keep the belly full and the balls empty. Like, you sound like Archie Bunker. That sounds like something from the 1960s and 70s. And then for you to say that having tattoos is a tramp stamp, it's 2023. Like, the way you think and the way you look at it, it's antiquated. It's very old way of looking at things. And then you justified it by quoting the Bible. That's part of the reason why I'm an atheist, because the Bible does say a lot of things that just make no sense. For you to say that a woman should be that way towards her husband and you use the Bible as your point of reference, that's just grotesque to me. I'm sorry. With all due respect, that is very
Well, Michael, I would say this. Down a little bit. First of all, breathe. Look, I speak to things that are practical. If we talk about infidelity, one of the main reasons that men are unfaithful is because they're sexually frustrated. They're sexually unsatisfied. So, look, it used to be said as part of the marriage vows, and don't think we have gotten away from our origins, is that one of the duties, and I would say the Bible definitely says a woman is defrauding her husband. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. A woman is defrauding, which is the strongest language possible, defrauding her husband if she denies him sexual gratification. And it goes even further. It says that her body, when she becomes married, is not her own, nor is his body his own. Their bodies belong to each other. So what I'm doing is presenting a palpable, practical formula for our faithfulness. Because if she denies him the essential ingredients, and you can go to Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs, if she denies him those fundamental needs, he's going to get them met elsewhere. Case closed.
Hey,
right. Okay. Ron
wanted to weigh in. Ron wanted to weigh in.
I do. Bruce does too. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, Michael, you beat me to the punch. You said a lot of the same things that I was going to say, but I just want to say to what's your name again? I'm sorry.
Solution.
Yes. I just want to say, without, you know, please don't take any personal offense to this, but the other panelists thought you were 80% on, 20% off. I am the opposite. I think you were 20% on and 80% off, if that. And let me explain.
And as I said,
Michael already said most of what I was going to say. But, you know, just from the very beginning that you were talking, you made it sound, and I can understand why the woman caller seemed to be a little, like, offended, I guess. I could sense that in her tone and her voice. You made it sound like women are inferior and men are superior in your description of what women should be like, number one. Number two, and Michael, you already said this, but, you know, that a woman needs to be able to cook. I mean, honestly, what cave have you been hiding in? I mean, this is 2023.
Really?
And
really?
Lastly, hang on a second. You've had your turn. Lastly, and I, David can attest to this. I told David, who is our host, last week that I really liked you and I thought you were really smart. Well, I've lost all that respect right now when you said that a family is between a man and a woman. Again, what cave have you been hiding in? You're not very smart to say that.
Well, okay, you've made some, if I may I respond to that, David?
Yes, please do.
Well, first of all, I would like, other than you just, throwing out an accusation, I would like for you to support it. If I say, first of all, well, you know what you just said, so where did I go wrong?
What did I say
that was inappropriate?
What part do you want me to support? I'm glad to support it.
What did I say that was inaccurate? Take the main one. Give me the main two areas
I'll tell you the main one that's and inaccurate is not the right word, by the way, because the society changes and laws and socialism, everything changes with time. But the main thing that you said that I disagree with is that a family is between a man and a woman. There is plenty of evidence today in today's world that is not true anymore.
Okay, well, let me first of all respond this way, okay? All right, it takes a male and a female, fertile, male and a female, create other people. If we don't propagate the human species, we die. So now, that is the fundamental basis of the human family and of the human species. Am I wrong about that?
There are plenty of children in this world that can be adopted. So a family unit can be made up of adopted
kids. No, you're skirting
the issue.
I'm sorry, what's your name?
This is Ron.
Hey, Ron, you're skirting the issue. Please answer my question directly.
Well, what is your question again? Does it take a man and a woman to procreate? Is that your question? Of course. That's a stupid
My
question.
Point is that the male and the female the fundamental foundation of the human family, because without them, a fertile male and a fertile female, the human race dies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes,
gentlemen.
We
could talk about this the rest of the hour, and I'm glad I kind of prompted some of this, but I want to ask Darius, one thing that you said, and I think it would help even Mr. Solution. You said at the end of your comments about this subject, and then I'd like to go back to the power of prayer because I want to answer that. But you said in this subject that you had no idea nor interest in marriage, but your wife, your close, wonderful wife, changed your mind. How did she go about changing you from no way do I ever want to be married and now I am?
Hello.
I think somebody needs to mute their phone. Somebody has a lot of background voice.
Yeah, they do.
Background noise. And actually, I think we're engaged in another separate conversation. But Bruce, thanks for asking me that, man. My wife didn't actually change my mind, like per se, like her changing my mind. It was, and I don't think she put forth an effort to change my mind. It was just being with her And learning her and spending time with her made me realize that my perception of what a woman should be to a man or what a wife could be to a husband was totally off. And being with this woman made me realize that I didn't ever want to be without her again. And that was something that could never have never have come about had I not spent that time with her and had I not invested the time and energy and had she not done the same thing. So had I pre-qualified her based on Mr. Solutions standards, that would have never happened. Wife has a nose piercing too, Mr. Solutions. So I would have missed out on that also. to the piercing before.
and David,
Bruce, can I make this statement real quick? Because Mr. Solution talked about the sexual part of marriage, and he's right as far as the Bible saying that a woman should not keep herself from a man, but it also says the man should not keep himself from a woman. But what I want to make clear is it's not talking about a mandate. It's just saying this is something that we shouldn't do. But let's put it this way: if as a man, we also should not put our wives in a position of where they feel like they have to do something out of obligation, because we're not doing what we should do as a man. If we're being the men that God commanded us to be, we won't have to demand sex of our women. It's not a chore. It's not a job. It's not a mandate. And if vice versa, the same thing. So let's not look at women as a tool and say, oh, that's their job to do that. No, it's not their job. It's our job to love our wives as Christ loves his church. And Christ doesn't demand certain duties from the church. Christ is a servant to the church, as we should be to one another in a marriage.
And Darius, from an outside perspective of your marriage and what you just said, what changed your mind was the fact of who she was, not that she was a woman, but the relationship and the close knit bond that you created with each other. As you said, if it's the right relationship, things will happen. You don't have to force things. So I agree with that. Can I, David, answer my own question before the hour is over?
Sure.
And it was back on if the second caller called in, came in late or not. I'm not sure. If she did, the question was, give examples. I had the members give example of the power and personal experience of prayer in your life. And everybody answered. You might have heard some of it except me. And my answer is simple. And I'm gonna change a little bit of a quote from Mark Twain, and that quote is, "Kindness prayer is the language the deaf can hear, and the blind can see." It's the language that deaf can hear and blind can see. And my reason for saying that, I've learned in one of the volunteer groups that I work with on the railroad, and the magical things that happen on a train that we're a part of, that simple kindness, is kind of a instrument of prayer. It's not just words. It's backed up with action. And some will say, well, you pray and then the instrument of acting out is beyond the prayer. But I believe in some regards, prayer can be shown to someone in action and not a word is spoken. So, and all of that, whether it's with words or action or a combination of both, I think we are instruments, as you said, Don, I think it was you, I agree, we are instruments of a higher power, in my case, being a Christian, God, and when we do that is very powerful, and miracles of all kinds can happen. So that was my answer I wanted to give.
All right. Once again, you're listening to The Man's Voice, and please give us a call, 646-668-8740. Gentlemen, we'll have another female caller that wants to call in and ask questions. Ma'am, you're alive. Tell, what is it that you would like to say? Hello, a caller from Los Angeles. What would you like to say?
Okay, thank you for letting me come on. My name is Joyce. And I have a question to ask your caller, Mr. Solutions.
Okay.
You mentioned that women shouldn't have tattoos. And I don't know where you got that from, but I've never seen that in the Bible. And I don't, I have a tattoo. And I want to let you know how I came about getting that tattoo. And I don't consider it a stamp, a tramp stamp. I lost a son to suicide. And I got a tattoo on my left shoulder of angel. It's on my shoulder. So can you tell me, you know, if that's enough, if that's an example to let you know what I, you know, what, how this affects me. So can you tell me where your information came, where it said that I shouldn't have this tattoo?
Yeah, well, first of all, ma'am, sorry for your loss, but look here, the exception to the rule does not disprove the rule. And what I was saying in the dating and mating and what we call the sexual market, successful men, particularly successful men, want things in an ordered way. And I'm saying a woman, now look, a woman with a discreet tattoo, you know, I'm not a prude. I don't have a problem with that. But I've seen women that look like billboards, right? And they have all these body piercing. That's an alteration of a woman's body. And men tend to pass women over like that. And I'm just saying, now, men have choices. And men can exercise their choices. Choices aren't just one way. And I'm saying women who have all these tattoos defacing their bodies, men don't like that. That's all I'm saying.
Solution, I got to push back on you on that one, brother. I'm a man. I'm a successful black man. And my wife has tattoos. My mother has tattoos. That has nothing to do with nothing. You sound like Fred Flintstone. Like you.
Wait a minute.
Life.
Hold
you
on now. I didn't, no
really
personal
do.
Attacks now.
Wait. Well, I got to be. I apologize if you took that as a personal attack, but your way of thinking is
all I'm saying to you, the exception does not nullify the rule.
But you
because
can't speak
you
for every man. You can't speak for every man by saying men don't like women with tattoos.
Well, when you do a survey, I'm just going to ask you, this is Michael,
he
the atheist, correct?
Yes,
Michael, he said discreetful, discreetful. I mean, there is something to what he's saying, which I do understand. Now, you know, I would hate to put you on the spot and ask you, you said your mother and your wife have tattoos. My mother didn't have tattoos. I don't have tattoos. So every person in this world has a, you know, there is some importance to someone's body. If they decide not to tattoo their body, you know, like me, I love a woman with I would say without tattoos. I don't mind a tattoo. But when you've got tattoos in your arm, your chest, just everywhere, you know, I don't even have tattoos. So everybody doesn't take a liking to tattoos, which I do understand. Now what I disagree with is there's a lot of men out there that really don't mind and don't care. But there's a lot of men out there that really do. So it can go both
right,
ways.
To throw anybody under the bus because they have a tattoo, to me, that's insulting.
That's
mankind. Like the caller who called in and said that she had one as a sentimental to the death of her son. You can't throw her under the bus. You can't throw someone under the bus just because they choose to put art on their body. I totally, totally disagree with that way of thinking.
But let's say this. But like I've even told my nephew, I said, please, when you pick a tattoo artist, pick an artist, not a gentleman that say he can do tattoos and he has a great price, because you're putting art on your body. You can't take, I mean, you can technically take it away, But it will cost you more to remove that tattoo and to redo it than to do it right the first time.
All right, gentlemen, I think going into the tattoo thing, Mr. John, way over the board with that. I think you need to go back. I'm trying to find out where that noise is coming from to help you get rid of it. All right. Let's move on a little bit more. I would like to, I see Soel is there. Soel, we haven't heard from you today. Is there something you would like to bring to the table?
Not really.
Okay. All right. What about you, Ron? Ron, are you still there?
Did we lose Ron?
I don't know. Well, Jeremiah.
I'm still here. Sorry. Sorry, I had it on mute and I didn't realize it.
Okay.
I'm just seeing in the news another breaking story. There's been yet another train derailment in Ohio. What the heck is going on with our infrastructure?
It's not being taken care of.
Well, hopefully that'll change with the infrastructure bill. And
oh, how many times have we been promised that, Ron? How many times?
All right, so let's move on. Don, is there something you'd like to bring to the table?
Yes, and I saw a beautiful story on the CBS affiliate here where they did a story on this man that ran the Miami Zoo, and boy, was I impressed with that. The story was so well, Ron, I'm going to take my grandkids to the zoo.
So you're talking about the 90-something-year-old guy?
Yes, sir.
Well,
yeah,
I'm on the edge of my seat, Don. Give us a quick summary. What are you talking about?
Ron, give him a one-minute excerpt of what I saw.
So if it's the same guy that I'm thinking of, he's actually he's in his 90s, and he started in the original days of the zoo back in the, I think in the 1940s. Early 40s or mid 40s, and he's so popular that there's people that pay to go into the zoo just to talk to him and see him, and he's done pretty much anything and everything, including nutrition, taking care of animals that you can think of in a zoo setting, and just an all around really really humble nice guy, and his approach is, you know, when it's a life and you know, basically is that if you find something that you love doing, just stick to it. Even if you're not making, you know, a ton of money, if you love doing it, just stick to it. And that's his secret for success, I guess you can say. Did I get that right, Don?
That's right. And he's been doing it for so long. He's 90 years old. And even the lions love him. Even the ferocious animals that we would call ferocious love him. And I thought that was so awesome to have that type of relationship. However, what I wanted to bring to forefront is Bloody Sunday. I saw the story on Bloody Sunday with the voters' rights, the Pettus Bridge, and I'm kind of glad that we are dealing with that, because voters' rights is so important. And we need to really get focused on it, because we're going through an election, because my 45th president just had a real campaign over the weekend. But one thing that came out, and we need to discuss this later, is diversity, equity, and inclusion. I like to bring that to the table next week so we can talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And we'll talk later. Before I go, Ron, you said something with prayer, and it intrigued me because the same thing happened to me. I would pray and things would not happen until I read this passage of scripture that a pastor brought to my recognition. He said, Don, you prayed, but you prayed amiss. That meant that prayed, but I didn't pray for the right thing, because God's will be done. And maybe you had it right. He didn't want your mother to suffer. That's why his will was done, and not let her prolong the life on earth where you and your family would be in turmoil.
And
thank you for that. I appreciate that.
And Don, could I add something to your list with, you said equity, and what were the other two?
I said diversity, equity, and inclusion.
They're under attack in Florida.
Please include equality too. If you have equity without equality, you don't have the whole picture.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
David, this is Jeremiah. I would like to add something.
All right, go ahead.
Really quick, I think this needs to be a discussion on the next show. Just listening, I can't remember who, but someone vividly said that a family could include adoption. I have an objection to that. If someone believes they can artificially be your parent, that's a whole other conversation. And another thing, if it takes a male and a female to raise a child, those are questions we have to talk about, because I think everybody here will have a different opinion on a panel. So let's talk about that next show. We didn't have enough time to talk about it today, but I think it's important.
So, Jeremiah, are you saying people who adopt children don't have families with those children?
No, they have families, but it was something that was replying to what the gentleman, the caller, that said something, where he said in the sense of having a family as male and female, how can you go around that, in a sense, or the birth of a child is male and female. So one of our panelists said by adoption, you go around it by adoption. So I partially agree with it, but go ahead.
That was me, Jeremiah, that said that. And let me clarify what I mean by that is that, and David, you can attest, because I know you've adopted kids and you've raised them, and they're very lucrative and professional young men these days. And all I'm saying is that, yes, I'm not dumb. I understand that to have a kid, you have to have a male and a female. But to have a family, to have a healthy family, doesn't mean that you can't adopt, you can't have surrogate kids. I mean, there's other ways to have a family that don't include a man and a woman being married and having sex and having a child. That's what I mean.
Yeah, procreation versus a family.
Okay.
Right. All right, gentlemen, we're down to about 2 minutes left. Anybody have anything quick they would like to bring to the table?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
David, I want to hear your example of the power of prayer and personal experience in your life.
The fact that you're here talking on this show right now is the power of prayer.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. What a political but nice, appreciated answer.
My whole life is just surmised by prayer. That's how I get through my day. Being a Roman Catholic, I went to Catholic school. We had to have rosary on a daily basis and all those kinds of things. So prayer is how basis.
And I had one selfish reason to ask that question, and it came true. I prayed that it would, and it did. And that was, if the rest of my brothers on this panel shared some of that, we could each learn from each other, and that's exactly what happened today.
Yeah. All right. You've been listening to The Man's Voice. We hear every Sunday from 6 to 7. It's coming up on 7, so we're glad you joined us, but we will be back again next Sunday. You guys have a great week. It was a great show. We'll talk to you again next Sunday, 6 o'clock. Have a great week,
and
guys.
No politics.
All your and aspirations and desires come true this week.
Yes. Yes. God bless. Hallelujah. Like, no politics today.
Have a good week, everyone.
Say your prayers.
Bye.
Bye.
Go Canes.
I heard that.